Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And I hope you're doing well today.
I am.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am fantastic today, actually.
Cool. And it's great to have you here, too. And we should just jump right in because I have a feeling that we have to sort out math in our heads today. So let's get to
it. It's easy math, though.
Yeah, it's easy math. All right. Good to know. All right. So one of the big news stories that's been bouncing around since last night is that Alphabet, which is the new company that encompasses everything Google, is worth more than Apple.
And that's significant because prior, Apple was, you know, largely considered the most valuable company in the world at one point prior. And now Google is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's pretty big because we're talking about lots of money. But it's not quite as simple as that, is it?
No. So, you know, we didn't think that Reuters and everybody else who was reporting this were wrong. But, you know, we like to make sure that it's still true, right? Because they all reported this last night after hours when Google announced their earnings, right? I guess, is that how this came to be, Brian? Is that right?
It's when it started, the after hours trading, but it continued once the market opened today.
Right. So we started doing some math to make sure that, you know, the way that they were calculating it made sense to us, and none of it did, in fact. So and please follow along with me, Brian, because I want to make sure I get this right. The way you calculate the market capitalization for a company, in this case, publicly traded companies, is you take the current share price, you multiply it by the number of shares outstanding, and this is where I'm hoping I get my definition right, Brian. The shares outstanding are the number of shares that the company does not hold, right? That other people own on behalf of the company. Okay.
Including people that work at the company.
Right. So just the company doesn't own them, but other entities do. And like you said, it could be founders of the company or you know, anybody that works there or anybody else. Right. And you multiply those together and you get your market capitalization. So for Apple, it's very simple.
Well, you multiply what together, Dave?
The share price and the number of shares outstanding. Yep.
There we go.
Yep. And the so for Apple, that's simple. You take approximately $95 a share, actually 95.23 at this very moment that I'm speaking, at least according to Google Finance, and you multiply that by the number of shares outstanding, and we'll talk about where we get this number in a second, which is a 5.544 billion. Right. So, right? Am I getting that right, Brian? Yes. Okay, thank you. So, yes, 5,544 million, and there's a reason I'm restating 5.54 billion that way. And so that gets us to a market cap of $527.96
million.
Million?
Billion.
Billion dollars. Ah. See, that's why I have you guys here. Because I knew I wasn't going to get all this right. Okay, so that's easy. Now you start going to Google. Google is an interesting company when it comes to shares. They're not alone in this, though. They have several classes of stock. Two of them are traded publicly. On the public market, those are Goog, G-O-O-G, for one class of shares, and Goog L, G-O-O-G-L. The only difference between these two classes of shares is that they are, one has voting rights. The one with the L has voting rights. The one without the L does not. And this is a sort of a byproduct of the way the company was originally organized, because they wanted to preserve the voting ability and the control of the company in its, they wanted to leave the control of the company in its founders' hands. So while this may seem strange, buying a stock and you have no control over the company, it's actually kind of normal, especially in tech companies. And I mean, those of us that, you know Apple know that, you know, you're kind of banking on the founders to do it. And now, of course, you're banking on the people that the founders chose. Apple's not organized this way, but you can see how this might have developed, especially at a company like Google, where, again, the founders were sort of the driving vision and currently still are.
Steve would have done it if this was a thing back when Apple was founded. That's my guess.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah. Yeah. He could have, but you're right. It wasn't a thing. Yes.
It exactly. wasn't a thing yet.
Yep. So, and here's the problem. If you do all of that math, right, and you take the price of Google's GOOG shares, Alphabet's GOOG shares, which is currently $777.08, and you look at how many of those are outstanding by looking it up on, say, you know, Yahoo Finance or something, which you can do, which is 268 million. And you multiply that together. Oh, sorry, 345 million. I was getting ahead of myself. So 777.08 is the price multiplied by 345 million, and you get $268 billion. That's nowhere near Apple's market cap, but you have to add in the other shares. And so that's where we go and get the Google shares, which have which are priced at right about $800 a share, and they're outstanding.
No real reason for the discrepancy between the two.
What's that?
No real reason for the discrepancy between the two.
Well, one has voting ability, but because Larry and Sergey or Sergey, I'm not sure how we pronounce that today. Own like 55% of the voting rights of the company, it doesn't matter today. But yes, there is a price discrepancy, and it's based on what you think those voting rights are going to be worth. There are 291 million shares outstanding of those GOOGL shares, and so that gets us to $233 billion of market cap there. And when you add those two together, remember, Apple's at 527 and change. That gets you to 501 and change. Still not worth more than Apple. And if you've done this math, you're wondering, what's next? Well, where it gets interesting is when you start reading articles about this, and you hear them refer to the GOOG shares as Class A shares and the GOOGL shares as Class C shares. There are these Class B shares. Those are the shares that Larry and Sergey and a few other people actually own, but they're not publicly traded, so they're not listed anywhere. So if all you're doing is looking at Yahoo Finance and Google Finance to find you, or E-Trade or anything like that, to find your market cap, you're going to miss these because you can't buy them. They are not for sale unless Larry wants to sell, and then that's that. Those shares, for those playing along at home, are worth 10 voting shares a piece, or at least they were. Some of this stuff gets a little foggy, but in any event, there are 51 million of those floating out there. They are priced the same, however, as the Class A shares, so at $777 per share times 51 million shares, you add another $40 billion, and hey, now we're at 541 and we're worth more than Apple.
Wow.
Which is actually the interesting story there.
Yes, now that we're here, now we can talk about the interesting story. That's right.
Okay.
And I saw, starting last night, I saw a bunch of knee-jerk stuff from the Apple fan community complaining about this. You know, like, you know, Apple makes all this money. Apple sells devices and gadgets that make a lot of profit. Apple brings in both more revenues and more profit than Google. So this is completely ridiculous. Wall Street hates Apple. This is a big conspiracy, and Google shouldn't be worth more than Apple.
That sounds
very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is what Wall Street is in many ways.
In some ways. I don't know. At the retail level, it is. I don't think it's all that emotional at the where everything actually matters, which is with the big money.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that should be considered first and foremost of which is that Google is showing growth and Apple is not.
Okay.
You cannot deny that. Google is showing 20% annual growth and has been for, you know, a while. And Apple barely grew, technically had this wonderful record quarter during the December quarter, but it was just barely a record, I mean, which is, you know, still awesome.
Yeah, yeah, record's a record. That's true.
Record's a record and how you get it. But Wall Street is forward-looking. Wall Street doesn't care what you did for me yesterday. Wall Street is interested in what you're going to do for me tomorrow or next quarter or maybe, you know, maybe a couple years out.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And we have to put an asterisk there because that's the only reason these Google shares are worth more than the other ones.
True.
So yes, there is some truth to that.
Yeah. So Apple not only barely had a quarter, i.e. showing very little growth during the December quarter, Apple actually said that its March quarter was going to be down year over year with iPhone sales that were down year over year.
So that's the opposite of growth.
That is the opposite of growth. Shrinkage.
And we just call it the opposite of growth. Shrinkage was that thing on Seinfeld.
We'll stick with opposite of growth.
The train is not amused, Dave. What we're seeing with these valuations is that Wall Street has more confidence in Google's ability to grow in the future than Apple's. And this is like a, you know, this is, there's so much involved here. This part of this is the fact that Apple is really pretty good at keeping secrets, at least until, you know, they start manufacturing stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I think that most of the people listening to this podcast and us too, the three of us, have a large amount of faith that Apple is going to disrupt, to release another disruptive product.
That's the reason people bought Apple stock in the mid to late 90s. Faith.
Well, a lot of people were selling.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's why the people that did buy, that's yes. why they bought.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, there was no empirical evidence.
Right. There's something special about this company. I believe in it. You know, and actually, it wasn't just a emotional thing. I mean, there was some empirical evidence. If you sat down and you used the operating system on the computer that ran it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, compared to you used what Apple released versus what Microsoft released, you could sit there and go, wait a minute. And we did, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's why we're all still here now.
Yeah.
And we did that and said, this is better. I know the world has currently sided here, but this is better.
Yeah.
You know, and we just held, and it was, I mean, part of it was a mission, but part of it was just, you know, at the time I was doing a lot of work on Windows machines, right? I mean, I joked that our first house was paid for by Windows problems, but it was true, right? Because I was solving people's problems and I would get paid to do that. When I came home, though, just because I knew how to do all that didn't mean I wanted to have to.
Yeah,
and so I still ran Apple computers at my house. And so, you know, part of it was just this obvious, it was, to those of us that knew, it was obvious. Now, hindsight is 2020. We know now that Apple also got to within, you know, what, you know, 2 weeks of going under because they couldn't make payroll. So, you know, we got
all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then there's more to that too. Another thing that I saw, and I can't remember who wrote this, but someone who was complaining about the Apple versus Google valuation was talking about how Apple has a billion loyal customers out there. It turns out that Google has 7 products with a billion users. This is all based on the...
a billion users per product, not a billion users across 7 products.
Yes! Paying them?
A billion users paying them?
No, of course not, because we're the product.
I know. Yeah, that right, but it's still, they're being paid by the... They're being paid.
Money is being generated from those billion people.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, let's see, we have Gmail, Android, Chrome, Maps, Google Search, YouTube, and the Google Play Store all have a billion, over actually 1 billion users.
Each.
But yeah, there's a lot of overlap.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
still. That,
that's irrelevant. I mean, actually, that overlap just merely makes the product more profitable.
Gravy. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Weaving the product, in case anyone wasn't following along. So there are good reasons for Wall Street to value Google and to give it a nice high multiple of 20. Oh, another thing, by the way, I said specifically, I wrote, and I think I said on this here very podcast, maybe on the Apple Context Machine too, that Google's reorganization into Alphabet as a holding company would result in less transparency on what Google was doing with its money. And I was wrong. I was precisely and 100% wrong. A big part of why Google jumped today is because for the first time, Google truly did break out search profits versus all the moonshot and ancillary companies that also make up Alphabet. And
that's interesting.
So, and Wall Street is for the first time able to actually sort of see them. And Amazon got a similar boost when it broke out revenues for its cloud services versus its retail business. Nothing changed, right? Google is still the same company. Oh, there was a great line, something about how yesterday Google was a search company connected to all these moonshots or connected to all these other companies, and today Google is all these other companies connected to a search business. Like, nothing has actually changed, but right. Now people actually get to see it, and it turns out that knowing is apparently better than not knowing.
Yeah.
Hence the 3%, 3.5%.
That's true. I mean, that makes sense, especially when you do factor in that this type of stuff is emotion based, right? Where, okay, now I am, but you know, and I've always said all sales are emotion based, right? Or all purchases are emotion based. But a lot of times you are feeling good about something because of information that you have about it, and sometimes that information comes from a spreadsheet. Other times it comes from, you know, what you heard from your buddy or whatever, right? But it's, so this makes sense. The more information they put out, as long as it's not terrible, it's good. And you know, there's a couple of things to point out here. One is that this is, you know, currently, this was not true 24 hours ago, right? It is true now. I think it will be true 24 hours from now that Google's worth more than Apple, and people feel better. The market in general feels better about Google's prospects than Apple. But, you know, I mean, there's a fine line here. They're also two of the most valuable companies in the world. So, you know, we're talking degrees of feel better. It's not like investors have completely given up on Apple either.
Apple's still worth, right? Over a half $1 trillion.
Correct. Yeah, it's still worth over. Yes, that's right. And just to be clear, the numbers that I mentioned before, especially in terms of outstanding shares, I pulled those from each company's respective most recent 10Q report that they have to file because they're publicly traded. Apple's was from December 26th. Google's, we don't have, or at least their investor website hasn't published the one that would have gone along with yesterday's announcement. So that is from earlier in 2015, from October 22nd. So these numbers are close, but not exact.
And Google is, I believe that Google is adding more shares currently, whereas Apple has been pulling them off the market as fast as it can.
Yeah, right. So there's,
which should have an upward lifting effect for Apple's overall overall share price.
Okay.
And does, actually, one way or another, it does. But it has the corollary effect of actually bringing down Apple's market cap.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And, until the share price matches.
Yeah, until the share price reacts and settles. That's right.
Yeah. Another way of thinking about that is that Apple's share price would be even lower than it's fallen to, which is like, what, $94, $95 right now?
$95.23 at the moment. Yep.
It would be even lower had Apple not been pulling shares off the market for the last 3 years now as part of its efforts to return money to shareholders.
So, this is interesting, but not the it's not the end of the world here, folks.
No, it's not. And the catalyst for Apple's future share growth is going to be Apple announcing something, or us finding out about something before Apple announces it. that is going to be close to shipping. Like the car business, not even Apple knows for sure that it's going to release a car.
Right.
Right. So, you know, we need to get to that point where Apple is going to be shipping a product or is close to shipping a product and is doing something that's going to goose sales. You know, iPad sales have been falling. Apple Mac shares have been rising. Right. Apple's Mac business is an incredible success story. But it's, you know, from a revenue standpoint, it's not enough to tilt the difference in Apple's overall revenues.
All right. So where we are today. Apple is not doomed just because Google is worth more on paper, just like Exxon was not doomed when Apple surpassed them to become the most valuable company.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
That's a great way of putting it, yeah.
All right. And man, it did take a spreadsheet to sort all of this out.
Only because Google did some interesting things. I mean, it's this third class of stock that they issued when they did the whole Alphabet thing and then split it.
Sergey or Sergey and Larry have done this thing where they basically say, "Hey, Wall Street, F you, we're going to control this company." And Wall Street has pretty much said, "Oh, okay.
Yeah, go. Yeah, run.
If that's what you want to do, that's fine with us."
But the founders are still in control.
Mm-hmm.
That's different from Apple.
Right.
Right. I mean, and I think that's part of where Wall Street. You know, at some point, it's okay, right? You're like, well, I'm going to bet on these people. I mean, certainly in the angel and even venture capital world, people don't invest based on great ideas. They invest in the people that say they're going to bring those great ideas to market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, you know,
whether or not they understand that.
What's that?
Whether or not the investors actually understand that's what they're doing.
In the venture world, I think they definitely do.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, because, you know, an idea, well, my favorite thing to say about ideas is if you want your idea to be worth $100, write it on a $100 bill, right? Ideas are worth nothing if you don't execute on them. And so Wall Street is extending that to that concept of thought to Google, right? It's like, well, we're still betting on the founders to run this thing the way that they always have, which is this massively successful thing. As soon as you replace those founders and they're totally out of the picture, well, then it's like, okay, now cough up some control. And what makes Wall Street comfortable is exactly that. If Larry or Sergey sells some of those shares that are worth, I believe, let's just say for the sake of argument, it hasn't changed and it probably hasn't. They're each worth 10 votes, right? Each one of those shares is worth 10 votes. If they sold that share, say to me, it's only worth one vote. So, it's not like this power gets to be passed around. This power has been entrusted only to those people that, you know, that had it to begin with, essentially. I think Eric Schmidt's one of the people that has these special shares too.
But yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, essentially, it's a small group. It's like 10 or less, but it's not a transferable right in its entirety. In fact, only 10% of it is transferable. So that makes Wall Street comfortable that you're not going to wind up with, you know, one of them saying, "Yeah, I'm out, but here I'm going to give these rights to that guy." Nope. You can give the throne to that guy up until the day the board says not anymore. But that's it. You know. So yeah. It's interesting.
It is. All right. We're going to have to wrap up. We are more than out of time. So I feel much better about my understanding of Apple stock value versus Google's value. And so thank you for sorting that out. You guys rock.
Yep. It's fun.
And Brian, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us. It was a fun discussion.
It was. Dave, thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Always fun.
And listeners, thank you for being here. And hopefully you're not worried about Apple as a company anymore. And wow, what a great spreadsheet. Okay, we will see everyone again tomorrow.